Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, it's Mike Siegel from FunnyMike.com and the Travel Tales Podcast.
It's Jim Cren from Jim Cren No Restrictions, and Christine's making me laugh here. I'm telling you, you got to listen to Storyworthy. Do not miss it.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and this is a best of Storyworthy! Exclamation point, echo sound.
Yes, today is the best of relatives, and I'm surprised we haven't done this before, Hannes.
I'm surprised too. When I put together these best of sets, like, I'm really now trying to avoid drug stories because that appears to be the vast majority of our episodes are like, I took a bad acid trip, I was in Berkeley and I shot heroin into my eyeballs.
Actually, I think there's been a lot of stories about relatives. Now, I did one about my brother, which is not on the list here.
The relative stories aren't necessarily like these. Like, the titles were about the relatives, but it's like often the title is something else or the subject is something else, but really it's about your relatives.
I see what you're saying. My point is I did a story about my brother, and you did not include it in this best of. That's what I'm saying.
That was not deliberate in any way.
Are Mike Siegel in his story entitled...
About his grandma.
His story titled Grandma, right? And then Jimmy Cren, his name is Jim Cren. I call him Jimmy because I've known him for like 30 years.
Well, you've known of him. He's been on the radio in Pittsburgh for...
Yeah, but I always know him as Jimmy. But the point, Jim Cren, he's got a great story about his in-laws.
Yes, exactly. And these are two. See, the grandma that you can't choose,
right,
and the in-laws that you sort of choose.
Yeah.
The in-laws could be anybody. Your grandma is your grandma.
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way. But you don't really choose your mate by their parents.
Yeah, although you probably should, let's face it. You know how they say, you want to know what your wife will look like in 40 years, look at her mom.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, maybe it'd be better if people went, oh, you two are crazy, so I'm not going to marry you.
I see. I
don't know.
In other words, like, you two are the ones that caused their bad childhood.
Yes, exactly right.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Marry who you're going to marry.
Right.
Besides, now you've had two sets of in-laws.
And so I've had a lot of luck with in-laws. I feel like, all really nice people.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So, yeah, I mean, if I was going out with somebody and their father was in prison or, committed some heinous crime, maybe I'd think twice.
Yeah, maybe. But if the guy's really hot. Look, if Rafael Nadal comes to you and says, listen, my mother was a kleptomaniac and my father was an arsonist, you'd be like, that's fantastic. Take off my pants.
Get out your balls.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're classy. You'd make him take off your pants. You're not going to take them off like some whore.
An animal.
Yeah.
Well, this is a best of, and we put these out on us about every 4, 5, 6 weeks. We throw out a best of just to add two of the past stories.
It's like
to life.
A sorbet.
Bring them life.
It's an extra thing. You want to bring these stories back.
It's not topical, so these stories don't die.
Hey, you know what these are?
Evergreen.
They're evergreen, baby.
That's what it is. That's what they're called.
You know what I love is, like, we say that and that's like a radio term, but it's like there's people out here who literally don't know what evergreen trees are, even though they are planted in California. Since all the trees are evergreen, they don't understand. You're like, no, in the dead of winter, they're still green. These kids have no idea.
Do you know, one time we were flying into Pittsburgh and my daughter looked out the window and she said, Mama, who planted all the trees? Because she's not used to seeing.
Oh, so many.
So
okay,
much,
so it was
like
obviously
forest.
in the summer. Yes.
Yeah. Well, even it's not in the summer. There's still a lot of space that is not used.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, California is weird that way, where it's like, well, yeah, she lives in the city, but even if you go out in the if you go out to California to where nobody's living, it's just empty and
it's
sort of horizontal. It's horizontal.
There.
It's not vertical, unless
right.
you go up to Big Bear. And then, you know, there's like tree, meth laboratory, tree, meth lab.
Well, it's like when you cross the country. It's just crop circle after crop circle.
You know, the most beautiful place I've ever seen in traveling in America?
Where?
New Mexico in the middle of the night.
Because it's dark?
It was like 1 a.m. and we come around like a mountain or something, or a mesa. And there was just like the, it was like another planet. Like
yeah.
the rocks were purple and green, and it was just
wow.
like absolutely gorgeous. And then very soon after that, we saw a sign that says 20 miles to the world's largest truck stop. And we did go to the world's largest truck stop.
Of course you did.
It's gigantic.
Really?
You can only imagine like
what
a couple.
What do they sell there?
Everything.
Mm.
Everything. There's like. There's like 10 restaurants and like a bunch of stores. There's literally the middle of nowhere.
So
like there's
an,
nothing.
It's like an outlet mall.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
not a truck stop. That's
no,
stupid.
It was a truck. I mean, it had all the truck facilities. It had the places you can
yeah,
shower in. It had
like
the this and that.
It's strip mall.
No, it was like a it was like the Mall of America, except in the desert.
All right. Okay,
we've
that's
gone
not even
far
our
afield.
Topic. Yeah, that's not even the topic. The topic today is the best of relatives, and we've got two stories.
Much like relatives,
right
we've gone
now.
Far off the track, and now we're going to complain about Obama.
That's exactly right. But before we bring on our first storyteller, I did want to mention that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, that would be great.
That would be great. You know what you could do? You could buy your book.
Buy my book, Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life. That's exciting. I appreciate when people buy it.
Sure.
I sign it. I send it back to them. And I feel like we've had a little moment.
Right, right. Perhaps a little dirty calligraphy in the corner.
Yeah, that's right. I draw a little dick pic in the corner of every copy of Pit to LAX.
You think she's lying. She's not.
So go ahead and pick that up at storyworthypodcast.com. And also, why not just tell a friend that you listen to the Storyworthy podcast? You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher,
SoundCloud yes.
or Intune, or anywhere your favorite podcasts
are. I know. People that I've known for years will still say, so where can I hear that? I'll go iTunes. They'll go, huh. It's like they've never heard of iTunes. It's like, we think that the world has been penetrated us and by technology. But
I think that here's what it is, Hannah. Some people listen to, you know, talk radio and they listen to people talking and some people don't. Some people listen to music and some people don't. Some people get up in the morning, turn on the television and leave it on all day. They don't necessarily watch it, but it's like on in the room.
Yes.
So I'm just saying.
I've always tried to avoid that in the morning.
Things.
I do that at night. The minute I come home, the TV goes on.
Oh, yeah.
The minute
that's the
I
worst.
Come home.
That's the worst.
You're the worst.
No, I'm telling you. The only time the TV should be on is if you're sitting in front of it ready to watch a program. But the whole channel surfing or just having it on, it's no good, man. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time.
I need to drown out the voices in my head.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is up right now, Mike Siegel. He is a comedian and a television host. And Hannes, I'll tell you, he travels so much.
How interesting. Perhaps he does a travel podcast?
He does. He is the host and the creator of the Travel Tales podcast. And when you follow him on Facebook or you become his friend or whatever.
Yeah, he's always putting up pictures of like.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I say to him, you know, Mike, don't have children. That's all I can tell him. Just
yeah.
don't even think about it because it'll change your life and you don't want that.
Yeah, although he may have children around the world, you know. He's a handsome man.
He is a
so
handsome man.
So he's probably like spreading his seed in Istanbul and South Africa.
You can
and
find
always...
him at thetraveltalespodcast.com or on Twitter at @FunnyMike. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Mike Siegel.
I always felt that the people who got into the show business either came from one or two camps. One, that you were brought up with a ton of attention, that everybody said, oh, get up and do a show. We love you. Or you got no praise as a child, which I was always in the second camp. My parents were scientists. They were good people, but just emotionally very cold. We didn't get a lot of compliments growing up. So I found that later in therapy, that's one of the reasons why it draws people to stand in front of a room full of strangers and get their approval to feel better about yourself. So there's a moment there. I went through college and I started doing stand up about a year after that. And it was very not like my past. I didn't come from a performing background. I was a newspaper writer. And the thought of performing was just the most scariest thing for me ever. So I did it. And I started a few years after that doing it full time professionally on the road. And my parents never said anything about it. They kind of just thought it was interesting. That they never, they came to a couple shows in Chicago, but that was it. Yeah. And fast forward to a few years of doing it, I'm on the road full time, and my dad is now living in Florida with my grandmother, his mother at the time. And my parents are very weird. They had the old, you know, half Jewish, half Catholic thing. My dad was the Jewish side, my mom was the Catholic side. And so they're living in this condo complex after my grandfather died. My dad goes down there, and my parents never said that they were separated. My dad just went down there one day and to quote unquote take care of my grandmother and just never came back. And it was never discussed. It was never, you know, because that would have meant talking about real things and feelings. And no, that didn't happen. So, but we all got together at holidays. It was just a very weird situation. But in true to my family, we'd never talked about any of it. It was just like that's the way it was. So to get down to Florida, I would have had to, I didn't have much money at the time, so I booked a gig down there. And the closest thing to where they were was a club called Uncle Funny's in Davie, Florida, which is the worst name ever for a, and there's a lot of bad ones out there, but that was one of them, the name-wise. It was, and just like everything else in Florida, it was in a strip mall. It was, you know, just colorless. Yeah. And so I go down there. And I'm coming down there, and I'm middling at this thing. So I'm probably making about $500, but it's covering the flight and whatever. And I'm staying with my dad and grandmother. And my grandparents, I would see them growing up maybe once a year, if that much, because they lived in Florida, or and we just never saw them. And so I just knew them as old people. And there's a moment in your life when you, I think in your 20s usually, when you see your parents as other adults and not just these mythic figures, you know, that they're, oh, he's just a guy. You know, but I never realized there's a reason that my parents grew up the way they did and raised us the way they did. And it never dawned on me until I go down there and I tell my dad, I'm coming down there, I'm playing this club. And he says, your grandmother wants to come. I went, oh, God, no, no, Dad, this is just bad. Some people just don't belong in a nightclub setting. And this 83-year-old Jewish lady who's probably the only comedian she ever saw was probably in the Catskills in the 50s, and it was like Henny Youngman or something, you know. And forget it. I mean, it just, and no, they insist. And they is not only my grandmother, but my two great aunts, Eva and Elaine. So these three 80-year-old women want to come to my show. Oh, Dad, really? You can't talk them out of it? No, they're insisting. I went, okay, fine. And if you describe the condo place where they all lived, it was really, if you saw Seinfeld's parents, it really was that. Everybody, they're all from Jersey or New York, and they all know each other's business and whatever. So I get down there, and it's a Wednesday through Saturday club, and I do the Wednesday show, and it's actually not bad. And I'm working with this guy, Jeff Allen, who was clean, thank God. Yeah. And because if he wasn't, then I really would have put my foot down. And so they're coming to the Thursday show, and I'm just nervous the whole time. And so Thursday comes around, they show up, and it's one of those times where the waitresses just kind of wave the two-drink minimum because they don't, you know, like, ma'am, it's a two-drink minimum. What? Just, what do you want, juice? I'll bring that, you know. They haven't had a drink in 30 years. So they're sitting there, and they're sitting through the whole thing, and this local MC goes up, and he's not very good. And, of course, it's the one show that week with a heckler. And this lady in the back, drunk, yelling stuff out, and I just, oh, no, not tonight. Not tonight. And so I go up, and of course she starts mouthing off, and now I got to take care of her, but I'm trying to be squeaky clean in front of my family, and somehow I handle it, take care of her, she shuts up, and I get through my half hour set, and I come off stage, and the headliner, Jeff, and the owner are in the back by the bar just cracking up, and I go, what's so funny? And they said, you did the entire show facing one half of the crowd, like the left-hand side of the room, because every time I would just like turn to where that my family was sitting, I would just see these three old ladies just staring a hole through me, not laughing, and then these big Coke bottle glasses, these giant eyeballs, just, and I just went, nope, moving over to that side, back to that, and I did the whole show that way. Didn't even realize it, So Jeff goes up, finishes. So now the show, it's over, finally. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock, which is later than they've ever been up in 20 years. And so I'm waiting in the back of the room, and I'm thinking, well, this went okay. I had an okay set. I didn't chew it, but I had an okay set. But it's your grandmother, so I'm figuring she's going to, no matter how bad I did, your grandmother's going to come up and say, oh, you were great. It was the best ever. And I'm waiting in the back of the room, and my grandmother slowly comes waddling up to me. And I go, well, here we go. Okay, waiting to get that praise, you know. And I said, so, Grandma, how did you like the show? Did you have a good time? And there was a pause, and she looked at me and just went, the seats were a little hard. And I went, okay, good. Well, I guess that's it then. Thank you so much. Have a safe, oh, wow. See, and then it was at that moment that my dad made complete sense. Like, this was how he was raised. And with us, that he did the best he could. Like, and I found out later on that he was really neglected as a kid. And so he was at least around for us physically, but he just, you know, it's still the emotional thing, and the praise just never got that part of it. Yeah. But then my dad made sense, my mom made sense, and it all started to make sense. And the capper of the story is they finally get in the car and leave, and I'm waving at them away, you know, with, okay, bye, thank you for coming. And on the way out, she reaches into her bag and gives me a card in an envelope. And my birthday was about a month earlier. She said, oh, I forgot to give you this for your birthday. I said, oh, thank you, and I wave as they leave. And then as I open it up, there's a card, and it's just a basic card, and there's a check in it. I said, well, this smooths things out, really, a check. And I noticed that the check is made out to a really weird amount. It's like $28.27. And I look at it, and it's made out to Atlantic Bell Telephone. And I said, that's just perfect. Like, somewhere, there's a guy at Atlantic Bell opening up my birthday check. And that was it.
And we're back. Oh, see, like you said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That story is a perfect example of that. Grandma gives no love. Dad gives no love.
It's actually, what was so great about that story is it was just so normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be the total reaction in my family. Like, it's just a Midwest complacency.
They're so unimpressed.
Yeah, nothing impresses.
I know. I'm pretty sure when we originally did this, I must have told the story of, like, going on a small tour with the comics from Madison, Wisconsin, where I work at the Comedy Cellar. And then, you know, we booked and we were doing a show at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, where my mother worked.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, she shows up and she's in the back of the room with her friend. And then she left. Yeah. And it's like
that's all you can expect.
This is my triumphant return.
Right.
Look at me. I'm in the cafe gymatorium and I'm doing comedy on a riser. Huh? Okay, perhaps it wasn't as impressive as I thought at the time. I'm starting to feel a little sad.
It's just, you know, when you're in this line of work, if you're in any kind of an artist or an entertainer, you just have to do it for reasons that are beyond, you know, beyond like personal gratification. It has to be like altruistic or for a higher purpose, because you're not going to get the, you know, you're not going to get the approval you're looking for. It just doesn't exist. And it's not personal. It's just the way
it is.
It's
not personal. It's business.
It's business.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
no, it's not even business. It's just nothing. It's just, it has to roll off your back.
I know. We've talked about it before, the generation of our parents who were just not that interested in us. Now, you damn parents today with your, like, every 5 seconds I want to know what my kid's doing. Nobody cared before. Nobody cared.
By the way, did I show you my daughter's new picture?
Yes, you did.
Her
you texted me.
Ridiculously cute, right?
Ridiculously cute.
Wow.
It was
She's
growing up, and then some, and very soon she will be uninterested in you.
She is already pretty uninterested in me, pretty much. I mean, she's 8 years old, soon to be 9. But it is interesting, obviously, to watch
her
grow.
Yeah, but that's nothing. Talking
about relatives, I mean, she's my closest relative because she lived inside of me. You know what I mean? It's
please don't
like
say that
haunting.
To her. Anytime in the next 10 years.
Sometimes I say, you crawl back in my belly right now.
Oh, please say that when she's 17 and about to go to prom. And you're like, you're not wearing that dress, young lady. Crawl back inside me. Mom! Oh, this is going to be horrible.
All right, guys, we've got our next story right now. Jim Krenn. Jimmy Krenn, the one and only. Jimmy Krenn is here.
I call him James Krenn.
Listen, he is big time in Pittsburgh, Hannes. You don't even know.
I don't know. No, I. You
he
told me he is one of those guys.
14 times the top entertainer in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Wow. Hang on. Not even all of Eastern Pennsylvania or Western Pennsylmania, but
no,
Pittsburgh
but
itself.
In Pittsburgh. I'm telling you. No, he's just great.
You were the number one entertainer on your block, I believe, in Las
he
Feliz.
He is a comedian and he's a radio personality. He's also the host of the podcast No Restrictions, which is right here on the Sideshow Network.
Yes, that's
I've
what's
appeared
important.
On
you
it
can hear him right now.
A couple of times. He's really...
Turn this off and go look. Listen to that right now.
He's really a great guy. He's best known for his work, like you said, in Pittsburgh on the WDVE Morning Show. That's what I grew up with. But now he's actually on the Q Morning Show. Ooh. From 6 to 9 a.m. on weekdays. I believe they call it drive time, Hannes.
They do. And what is it, Q92?
That's right, Q92.
Q92! in L.A. and Milwaukee, it was Q93 FM.
You can find him at jimkren.com and on Twitter at Jim Krenn. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jim Krenn.
So, you know, interesting subject, huh? About in-laws, about family. Because when you marry, and you marry another family, you become part of that family. And I'm married one time, luckily, and I'll kick my coverage. I married up. You've seen my wife; she's stunning, right? There's nowhere you can't get better than her. And you know, I was the luckiest guy in the world. I have the greatest in-laws. I really do. They are just nice people. They welcome me. And when you're married 20 years, you go to different layers of family, of in-laws, of you know, learning about the family. And my wife's most colorful relatives were her Aunt Jo. Her Aunt Jo, I just learned to really – I fell in love with. And in her 90s, she has since passed away. Okay, when I met her, she was in her 90s. And I remember my wife saying, you gotta meet Aunt Jo. Aunt Jo practically raised me, Jim. You know, really close to Aunt Jo. And her son is Smoke. Smoke was in his 60s. Smoke looked like Dave from Wendy's. Okay, picture the white hair, had a hat that said Smoke, which he wore all the time. Baseball cap, like a trucker cap, just said Smoke. I never would see him without a cigarette. In his, always had it in his hand all the time. I mean, his little hands like burnt, like just from smoking the cigarette and stuff. And just always, you know, he's still kicking, still there. The most colorful and interesting people I'd ever met. Now, and they lived in Frederick, Maryland. I remember talking to Aunt Jo on the phone several times and getting ready for the trip to meet her. Tell me about her dog, Chippy. I love dogs. So we drive down to Frederick, and you know, we're going to live the little trailer park and Aunt Jo's trailer, and Uncle Smoke's right across the street, and I'm all happy and excited to meet. And so I get there, and you get my bags. I bring my wife's bags in the trailer. Aunt Jo's trailer is beautiful, really, really warm and homey and really, really cool, you know. I could hear the cough now from Smoke in the background. It's, like, it's great. Yeah, bringing me back. Smoke was there to greet me, you know, came from across the street, cigarette in hand. And Chippy, the dog, but which was a Boston Terrier, but mixed with something, he's like muscular. And I got to tell you, till this day, I have never, ever had my leg humped like Chippy humped my leg. I'm not kidding. Yeah. The very first moment I met Chippy, he jumps on my leg and goes to town. I don't know what's going on here. But Aunt Jo has a fly swatter, a big red fly swatter, and smacks Chippy in the head, and Chippy jumps up and he hates his fly swatter. She goes, hold on to this fly swatter, or he's going to get you. So I got the fly swatter, and I am really holding on to the fly. One time I accidentally put the fly swatter, and Chippy was on my shoulder, just going to town. I grabbed the fly head, he hands me the fly swatter, wife, I'm hitting the chip, and boom, he runs. He's done. I got to have the fly swatter at all times. This I know. So the first day we're there, getting everything's acquainted and everything, and I start hearing about Smoke's family and Smoke's sons, and I hear about his son Melvin, who just got out of prison. Now it's starting to get colorful. Melvin was in prison for some drug thing, and, you know, and Smoke talked like this. And you always had, like, kind of everybody got a real detail, like you knew. Like, you know, like, yeah, Melvin was in jail, Jimmy. Just got out of prison, and he didn't know that drug dealer was in that house when the fire started.
What?
He didn't know. But stuff like that. So Smoke wants to show me around Frederick, and he wants to meet his kids and their kids' kids or whatever. I'm just going around Frederick and looking Civil War stuff or whatever, and Aunt Jo's cooking back at the place, and I'm going through the whole thing, and Smoke and Melvin and I are bonding, you know, and I guess I remind him of a prison inmate friend or something. But the strangest part, yeah, Chippy's waiting for me at home. So the all-day affair, first day, we're out having a good time, and I'm exhausted, you know. And his whole family are sitting in the trailer, and I really want to go to bed. I really just want to go to sleep. But they want to talk to me. And Hetty's sitting there, and Aunt Jo, and there's like eight kids and kids' kids or whatever. They're all sitting around the trailer, and it's kind of wild. And they're all telling these stories. And I'm just like nodding off, like kind of. And all of a sudden, Smoke decides he's going to get into an argument with Melvin, who just got out of prison, on who had it worse in life. Like, this one's going to top the other on you had it bad. You know, Melvin has been in prison talking about, you know, getting shanked or whatever. That's pretty whatever. And I'm like, yeah. But Smoke, this is where it got interesting. Smoke starts telling this story, right hand to God. He goes, Melvin, you thought you had it bad. What about me? What about my life? I mean, when Dottie left me, and then the restaurant went south, and then I killed that lady, and then the car thing happened, and then the tax thing, of course, was there, and then this, and then the supermarket thing. Yes, in the middle of all that, I wake up, and I go, holy shit, did he just say he killed a lady? And Hetty, my wife's looking at me like, she's looking at me. Like, I know. I'm like, I don't know him. This is your relative. I don't know what you mean. And I said, and I looked at her and whispering. I'm just really whispering. Because he's still talking. He's into it. Yeah. And I go, did he say, Smoke, kill lady? She just nods. Yeah. Like, wow. So we don't see anything, you know. And so they leave and all. And now we're in bed in the back of the trailer. And I remember it's pitch black. And I remember 20 minutes, 30 minutes go by. And I know Hetty's not asleep because I'm not. And I just hear, I go, Hetty? She goes, yeah. I said, did Smoke say kill a lady, right? He killed a lady. She nervously, yes, like that. Like, you know anything about this? No. I'm like, I got to ask him. Yeah. I got to ask him. I can't take it. I get out the next morning. It's like, and Joe gets up early. So I'm up like Chippy's waiting to hump me. Yeah. The morning hump. It's like 7 in the morning or 7:30. I get my shoulder humped. I hit him. And I'm like, okay, Smoke's coming over for breakfast. I'm sitting there at the table. And I'm telling you, like, guys, it had to be, say, a 7:45, whatever. Smoke's rear end didn't hit the chair. I am jumping right on it. I want to, right? I mean, he had the hat, the Smoke hat on, just lit up, ready to sit down. I'm like, Smoke, I have to ask you something. Yeah, Jimmy, what? Did you kill a lady? he goes, oh, yeah, that. Yeah, I did. I'm like, well, what do you mean? What happened? He goes, well, it was a driving rainstorm. And I was driving, and they were having a picnic. And this lady was in her 90s, and she was blind, and she was deaf, and she mute, couldn't speak or nothing. And I guess her caretaker was supposed to be with her, and just wasn't with her. And she, damn it, Jimmy, she wandered off onto the road, and I didn't see her, and just went, I hit her, and went right up into my car, and I see her face in the windshield. He gets all emotional. I swear to God, he said this. I'll tell you. I'm like getting choked. I'm like, wow. He goes, I'll tell you what, I was so shaken up, I couldn't drive the car again. I couldn't drive again for 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, 2 weeks.
Couldn't do it. Shook me up. It's crazy.
And we're back. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Okay. So to produce these episodes, I have to listen to the story, obviously.
Right.
To refresh our memories. And I had completely forgotten that the guy killed somebody. I'd completely...
It's really a great story. And Jimmy Crenn tells it
very
so well.
Yeah, but it's like it came as a surprise again, even though I've heard the story before.
Yeah, he's
I was like,
just amazing.
Wait, what? And talk about... Yeah, see, talk about... Okay, talk about impressing your relatives. You got a guy who was in prison, another guy killed somebody, he couldn't drive, you got a dog that's
Chippy.
Constantly humping, Chippy, the humping dog. It's like you and your show business, not impressive.
Yeah, I love it. It's, hey, man, it's day-to-day life. It's they're just living the truth. It is what you see, you get what you see. You know what I mean? It's these people are down to earth. This is their life. This
yeah.
is the real deal.
Yeah, there. It's like, oh, the trailers. Oh, chill going up my spine. Just to think about it, that's just...
Oh. Honest. Listen, it's sad that both of your parents have passed, obviously. But in a way, are you glad to scale down your family in general?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not... No, I wouldn't even say it. Like, I've never been like, boy, I wish they were still around. I kind of wish my mom was still around. And yet,
right.
I may not have figured out all the stuff I figured out if she were still around.
True.
You
See, everything
I mean?
Happens for a reason.
Yeah, it's, I do wish she could have seen me happy, which is, this is me happy, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. This is me.
I'm happy. That's so true. That's so true, Hannes. Well, when I
but
first
anyway,
met
you're
you.
But happy now.
Well,
and your mom is unimpressed by that, so...
My mom is 80 now. She's turning 80 in December. So,
yeah.
Really interesting. And as you know, I've got a big birthday coming up, and I don't know
you're
gonna what.
You're going to be 73 years old.
I don't know what to think.
You've been telling people you're 50 for 3 years to lessen the impact. It doesn't seem like it's working.
I know. I think now, after January, I'm going to start saying I'm 55.
I tell people I'm 61, so they go, God, you look great.
That's what
You're
my plan
really
is.
Taking care of yourself. It's fantastic.
All right,
Isn't
you
your
guys.
Mother coming into town?
She is coming into town. That's right. In fact, she's coming into town to see my daughter in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
So what a grandma thing to do. It's perfect.
It's very cute that she's... Oh, I thought, okay, she's coming in. I thought the other grandma was coming in.
Oh, God, honest.
No,
you gotta keep.
I don't have to keep your relatives
schedule.
Straight because they're not my relatives, and this is the beauty part.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank today's guests, Mike Siegel and Jim Crenn, and of course everybody here at Sideshow Network. Thanks, Maria Spertolozzi. And on behalf
your hair color again.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know he's the guy that wrote the theme song. Follow me.
He's actually my cousin. I've never revealed this before.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
That made no fucking sense whatsoever. No fucking sense at all.